Thanks, everyone.
Pretty much
everyone done with this? Okay. All right, so what we'd like to do today is to finish up our discussion of Shel Kesef Kekesef. And it's an important topic, and it affects a lot of things. And in honor of that topic, you see that the yeshiva took on this campaign today to illustrate the value of money, and how our education is worth money, and how commodities are worth money, and succeeded in raising over $6 million. It's a very impressive message, all to highlight the importance of the sugya, at the same time as giving you a context in which to learn the sugya, so you should have an extra hakar satov for that. But the concept of Shel Kesef Kekesef has a lot of significance for us for a lot of reasons. First of all, because it helps us to understand the nature of Kesef, which is going to be one of our major themes now. But also, it has a symbolism that goes beyond that, and that goes beyond the specific sugya. Rav Schefter is fond of pointing out, and this is a theme of his upcoming next sefer, that our minig to be mekadesh with a ring. We generally use a ring for kedushin. So that is a statement. And it's a statement of the chashivas of Torah Sheval Peh and our belief in the oral tradition, in the oral Torah, essentially because it's really a double Torah Sheval Peh. Because first of all, the Gemara has to have the whole drasha over here to tell us that kesef works at all as a kinyan. So kesef is a self Torah Sheval Peh. And then, on top of that, now we don't use actual cash, at least in Ashkenazic circles. We don't use actual cash for, sorry for the continuing discrimination, it's nothing personal. But so we don't use actual cash for Kedushin, but we use a ring. So a ring is Shrava Kesef Kekesef. It is because we're using an item that is worth money. So as we're seeing today, the exact nature of how we know that is a major topic of discussion. It seems to be some combination of a pasuk, a svara, or somewhere in between. So the fact that we base our marriages on that, and that is a double Torah Sheval Peh. That is kesef plus shava kesef. So we're making a very public statement in front of Aiden and our many assembled friends and family that we believe in the power of Torah Sheval Peh. So the nature of how we know this of Shel Kesef Kekesef, just so you're aware, has a symbolism that transcends the sugya itself. At the same time, this is going to tie in a lot of different ways to some central concepts here. Morgan? So yeah, it's from the Beis Yosef. Yeah, the idea, right. But this idea, that's, I didn't mean to say the Mechadish, I was saying that he was fond of pointing that out, that that's the theme that we're making the statement, and that's we believe in. So we're learning Gemara now because we believe in Torah Sheval Peh. So too, the ring that we use for Kiddushin is a double statement in the importance of Torah Sheval Peh. So we tried to figure out what exactly is behind this idea of Shava Kesef Kekesef, the idea that is alluded to in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah tells us that Isha is nicknames with, according to Beis Hillel, a pruta or a shava pruta. So it's basically taking it for granted that is the concept of shava kesef kekesef. And yesterday in our brief session, so we highlighted a number of questions, a number of points that emerge from various sources here. So today we'll try to see how we can bring them together. So the first issue was the question of where do we know shava kesef kekesef from? And we saw that this was a complicated debate in the Rishonim, but we could basically boil it down to two schools of thought. And how can we basically summarize in one word each the two possibilities? Either it's a svara, right? Or a pasuk, right? So basically, most of the Rishonim really seem to think it's a svara. And Tosfos, Rashi, a few others assume that we need a pasuk. So we're not going to focus so much on the question of what the pasuk is anymore, or why the pasuk is, but that's really what's going to interest us today the most, the question of, is it obvious? Is it something we can figure out on our own? Or is it something that we need a source for? And we mentioned the other day how the Rav in the Shiur Mon Kiddushin had a discussion about this point, that one would think that it is obvious, But it seems from other contexts, it should be obvious, that we're talking about paying back money that you stole, paying back kafel for money that you stole. So there we wouldn't say, well, it's only relevant if you stole cash. We would understand that anything of value is subject to kafel also. So why isn't it obvious here? And you recall the distinction, that there's a difference maybe between mamon and kesef. That mamon is cash in the sense of cash value, sense of spending power. And kesef might have a more literal meaning. And kesef might be something more specific. And therefore, if we're interested in mamon, like when it comes to theft, we know that what we're concerned about is that somebody got robbed of property. He's going to be upset whether it's money or whether it's commodities. So then it's clear, shava kesef is kesef. But if the halachic issue at hand is about kesef specifically, is about money in a more literal sense, then maybe it's not so obvious. Right? So what emerges, and this is what we want to hold on to for a little while, what emerges is that there's two different categories here. There's the issue of value, and if we're talking about value, then it's really obvious to us, shava kesef is kesef. And there's a more specific meaning also, which might not so obviously be about value, which we'll call kesef in the more literal sense.
Yeah, what's like an English way to say that? Coinage?
Well, it could be coinage. It could also be currency. The reason I'm avoiding using a specific English word is because we haven't totally pinned down what it is yet. So if you want to call it coinage, just use that as a placeholder for now. So let's call it a coin, or we can call it even silver, even more literal. For the sake of convenience, let's call it a silver coin, right? So we're talking about value, or are we talking about silver? We're talking about actual silver here. So different areas of halacha call for different things. If we're talking about getting robbed, so clearly it's value that we're interested in. But maybe in other areas of the Torah, it's actual silver that interests us. In which case, it's not so obvious that shavah kesef is kesef, even if bottom line that's the din, but maybe it needs to be explained. It needs to be answered. So far, so good? And as we mentioned, other achronim phrases along similar lines, that there's two different dinim of shavah kesef kesef. There's the obvious shavah kesef kesef. It's clear you're just trading one thing for its equal value. And there is the shavah kesef kesef, which is true, but isn't obvious. It needs to be taught because it's not something that automatically emerges from the concept that we're talking about. And even though the bottom line is still the halacha, shavah kesef is still kesef, but we need to be taught it. We need sources for it.
Say that again.
Yeah, that there's basically two concepts. There's two usages of shavah kesef kesef. There's just the easy, obvious reality of shavah kesef kesef, that when we're talking about value, you trade one thing for the other, what's the difference? It doesn't matter whether it's a commodity or money, it's all worth money, it's all the same thing. And then there is the chiddush of shavah kesef kesef. In some situations where the logic of that case doesn't automatically tell you that commodities are also good, so we need a source to teach us the halakhic principle that's true. So in other words, in all of these situations, commodities equal money. But in some situations, it's obvious. And in some situations, it's a chiddush of halacha that needs to be conveyed. And there could have been reasons to think that it's not true. So now we plug that into our issue with the Rishonim here. So what do you see? It sounds like, speaking broadly, that most of the Rishonim, like the Ramban and others, so they see it as obvious. And they say it's a svara. We don't need a pasuk. So they see value as the relevant concept here. Mamon. Who needs to be taught that commodities are the same thing? Talking about value, so it's obvious. And that Tosfos, by requiring a source, Tosfos is saying, no, it's not just about value. There's some significance to Kesef specific. So what's behind that debate? We focus here now on Kedushin. Shava Kesef by Kedushin. What's behind that debate? Ramban saying, well, obviously it's all about value. And Tosfos saying, no, maybe not. Bottom line, value works too, but you need to be taught that because that's not really what the concept is so obviously about. So one possibility, some of the Achronim point to, is that maybe there is a debate among the Rishonim as to what the Torah means in general when it talks about Kesef. Either you saw this morning, did you get to see the Rambam and the Perush on Mishnayos and the Ritva and Kedushin? Did any of you see the Avim Yilum inside, by the way? Okay, so you saw the Avim Yilum is... Alright, so now here's a little analogy back and forth. So if you recall, the Yeshiva is taking a new approach to examining the role of technology in our learning here. So you see how technology took us back and forth this morning. Because I told you guys to look at the Ritva and the Avim Yilum and Kedushin. So those of you who used the most of the Rav Kook Ritva, so you opened up and you found it. Those of you who looked on the Bar Ilan or other online resources, so didn't find it in the same place, first of all. But the other disadvantage that you had was that if you're looking for footnotes on the printed Ritva, on the most of the Rav Kook, so he argues on how the Avim Yilum reads the Ritva. You have to think that the Avim Yilum is correct in this whole assessment of the story. So that's why we have to re-examine our relationship with technology. We have to make sure that we're really getting the most out of the Makaros.
The new Ritva doesn't have that.
Oh, so there's two most of our Kook Ritvas. Yeah. Right, that's also a story. So that's a whole different discussion. Right, so that, we can't blame that on technology. discussion. But technology fixed the problem because, did you get the email from me?
Yes.
So I scanned the most of Kook Ritva. And hopefully Morty sent that around, so technology can also fix the problem. But, so it's all a question of how you use the kli. But in any event, so this question, whether the Ritva is saying what the Avni Milum says he's saying, that's a topic of debate. But essentially the way the Avni Milum reads the Machlokas is that according to the Rambam, also the Rif, that Kesef, when the Torah talks about Kesef, it has something in mind. It has a specific coin that has silver in it, that's worth silver, and that's what we're talking about. And you could have a chiddush that shava kesef is treated like kesef, but we start from the vantage point of actual kesef. While according to the Ritva, is being read correctly, and according to two other Rishonim as well, what the Torah is talking about when it talks about kesef is value. So one assumption is that this is a general question, how to read the concept of Kesef in the Torah. Does the Torah in general, when it talks about Kesef, refer to something specific? And therefore it's not so obvious to us that Shavah Kesef is Kesef until we can derive it from Sukkim? Or does Kesef in general refer to value? So if that's the explanation here, might be, maybe not. It's a little limited then. It's a little bit evocative of our friends, who? The Taz and the Sma, right? So this Taz and Sma keep coming back again and again. And maybe that's behind this issue as well. So that's how some of the later Svarim think as well. But maybe this is evocative of the Taz and the Sma. So just to recap the major points of the Taz and the Sma. And the Taz holds that Kesef in general as a kinyan works differently than the Sma. Right, what does the Sma say? The Sma says it works through payment. And you're basically making a down payment on whatever you're purchasing. So you're buying some land, you give forth Kesef, that's the initial payment, or if you're buying something very cheap, it's the whole payment. But that's what's going on. You're paying for the item. And the Taz says, what are you talking about? It can't be, because same kesef here. It's the same kesef in Kiddushin. So when it comes to Kiddushin, you're clearly not paying for her value. So too, that's not what a kinyan kesef is. Kinyan kesef must be symbolic. Right, so that was their major debate. Soloveitchik, by the way, just to add to this, in the Masorah Journal, is Mechelek Beis, the second issue of the Masorah Journal, it goes back many years already. So there is a little piece from Rav there where he discusses that he thinks that even this whole issue is specific to Karka. Maybe we'll say a little bit more about that later on. That the idea that Kesef would be symbolic, like the Taz is saying, and like he understands is the case when it comes to Kiddushin. So that would only be by Karka. Because by Karka, there's a specific pasuk that's on our daf, right, in the top of Beis and Beis. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Sados Bakesef Yiknu. So there's a din in the pasuk that there's a kinyan kesef by Karka. So maybe that's a specific reference, not just to value again, but to a symbolic kinyan. So the idea that there would be a kinyan kesef that's purely symbolic rather than payment of something, that's the Rav understood a chiddush specifically by Karka, and here Kedushin as well. We see Karka and Kedushin are connected, stay Ephraim. But by movable commodities, so then he thought that it is a payment really according to everyone. And that's why the language you find in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which talks about using a kinyan kesef on items. So there, and the Gemara was concerned that you would pay for something, have ownership of it, and you wouldn't pick it up yet. It would stay in somebody else's house. And then there would be a fire in their house and they wouldn't rush to save it because it's already yours and you'd end up losing out. So the language of the Gemara there is Dvar Torah Mos Kones. So the Rav said the language is Mos, not Kesef. That Mos means the value that you're paying towards the item. So you pay towards the cost of the item. And that acquires movable property. But the idea that it should be symbolic, that's limited to Kinyan Karka and Kinyan Isha. But in any event, that's the position of the Taz, that by Karka and Isha, it's clearly symbolic, and that must be how Kinyan Kesef works. Okay, so far so good?
Yeah,
Jonah?
Maybe we could, when you said it evokes the Malmoz of the Sfam Taz, this understanding of the Avigadon.
Possibly. They could be independent of each other.
Right.
Right, they for sure could be independent
of
each
other. Side.
Yeah, absolutely. They could for sure be independent of each other, but maybe they could be different approaches to this question, or maybe there's some connection between the two. So, because the question is when the Torah talks about Kesef, so when does it talk about Kesef? Right, so, if you want to say that's what's going on here, so that could explain this as well. If you want to say the Taz and the Sma are the players here, basically. So, the problem is that takes us down a difficult path. Because basically it's going to come out. Tamir, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, how does it line up?
So that's what I want to explain. That it seems like you would say that for the Sma, that it's all about paying off a price, paying a purchase price. So then it's about value, clearly. So it's about value. So then we have the automatic obvious Shavakesk. And if it's not about paying a purchase price, it's symbolic. So then maybe that's why it's not obvious to us that Shavakesef is Kesef. Maybe it has to be actual money. And we need a source for Shavakesef to Kesef. That's the assumption it would line up in such a way. There's discussions about this in many, many Achronim, just to give one prominent example, the Sefer Divrei Yechezkel, it was written by Yechezkel of Bernstein, who was one of the Rashi Yeshiva in Slobodka. So he has an essay along these lines where he mentions both these points, the Avim Eluim and this question of how exactly Kinyan Kesef works in general. So that could line up nicely. But the problem is, then that puts a lot of Rishonim in the Sma camp. And we found the Sma to be difficult for a Kiddushin. It basically comes out that, okay, so Tosfos, who says need a source, that's because Tosfos is understanding that it's not about value, it's about maybe symbolism of Kesef. So that's like the Taz. But the other view, that you don't need a source and it's obvious, which is the view of most of the Rishonim, so that's saying that it's a payment? Like the Sma? So you're saying the Ramban and almost all the other Rishonim, after we spent all that time in the first week bringing various sources from Rishonim all over the place, that Kinyan Kedushin is not about acquiring the woman. Now you're going to tell me that most Rishonim here understand that Shavu Kesef for Kesef and the Sugya of Kedushin is about payment? Isn't that a little hard to swallow? Isn't that going to be a little problematic? And also, just to heighten it, to deepen it, whatever direction you want to go in, but to put the Ramban and everyone else together with the Sma wouldn't even work for another reason, because most assume that the Sma agrees that Kedushin is not about purchasing. That Kedushin is about symbolism, or is not about the value of the issue. And he'll have to explain why Kinyan Kesef in general is about something else. His point is about Kinyan Kesef outside of Kedushin. And the Taz just said, well, you can't really split between Kedushin and Karakut, because it's all the same source. So therefore, if it's one thing by Kedushin, it's one thing by Karakut. But the Sma himself didn't say that Kedushin was about paying off the item. He said that Karka was about paying off the item. The Abba Milu we mentioned the other day, he was the outlier who did say that Kedushin was about Piron, and that was a very controversial position. But the Sma didn't say that. So even to put together the Ramban here, that's going to leave us with a difficult position. Can you hear the issue so far? So it's attractive on the one hand to say that the Rishonim who believe that it's obvious that Shavu Kesef is Kekesef, that they see the Kesef concept as just about value. But then the question is, how does that work conceptually for Kedushin? What do you think? Any thoughts about that? How's that going to work? It seems to challenge our whole framework that we spent so much time setting up that Kedushin is functioning differently. No?
I don't have a real answer, but
yeah,
I'm just going to say that it's going to be a technical. It's going to be a technical answer that, like, in general, the way it works is that it does function as a down payment, but for some reason, Kedushin is an exception to that rule.
Okay, so which goes back to the position of really the Sma himself, right? That the Sma says that by Karka it's a down payment, and yes, he'll agree with the Taz's objection that Kedusha doesn't fit that model, so he'll have to explain that somehow. So that works great for the Sma. But the problem is the Ramban is over here, right? The Rishonim who say on our Mishnah to the Taz and the Sma, their whole discussion was actually in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Kuf Tzadi. He was talking about Kinyanim outside of Kedusha. And just the Taz says, but wait a minute, you can't split them, so you have a problem. But here, we know we're talking about Kedushin. So why do the Rishonim, like the Ramban and all of his teammates here, why do they say that, oh, Kedushin also, we know it, Shavu Kesef is Kekesef. It's obvious. Implying that it's all about paying off some debt or something, it's all about giving some purchase price. And how do we reconcile that with however we understand Kedushin? Any further thoughts? Looks like you have something in mind. Okay, Jonas?
Maybe that choosing something of value is the way one shows symbolically shows seriousness.
Uh-huh.
So, like, meaning, if I do something that's, let's say, less than a Shavu Kruta, doesn't show that I'm necessarily committing to anything significant, but if I get something that's more than Shavu Kruta, it shows that I'm actually giving something over, that's symbolic, something meaningful, I guess.
So you're saying that the symbolism comes from it having
value.
Yeah. So you're saying, okay, so now we have to explain that further. Basically, you're saying that, yes, it's symbolic, but what is the symbolism? Right? The symbolism isn't from anything magic about coins. The symbolism is from the fact that coins are worth money. And since coins are worth money, so that makes them something that people don't want to give up so easily. And therefore, it's about value at the end of the day, so why can't we just trade it for something else? Okay, that could be. That could work. Any further thoughts? Let's just explore this a little bit more. So, one of the questions we started to bring up yesterday in our brief time was the svara that the Rishonim involved. And the Rishonim say, it's a svara, you don't need a positive. So, how do they explain the svara? They don't just say it's a svara, right? How do they substantiate the svara? What was that key phrase?
Das.
So say more than das. Add some das to the das.
Lishma.
Sorry?
Lishma.
Lishma? Well, actually, a different kind of that we'll have to get to separately. But what do they emphasize when they say, shava kesef, kesef, clearly it should be because, I think is what you meant by das, because they both agree, right? Because it's mutual. So one question I think I asked you to think about yesterday was, what's the significance of that point? Why are we emphasizing mutual agreements here? Now, you could look at that in two directions. You could say that it's to exclude situations where we don't have mutual agreements. For example, we're talking about paying off an eved ivri. So you might say, what if the adon doesn't want to take a desk? He wants actual cash. And this is not happening by his agreement anyway. So maybe we need a source to say that even if you refuse to take cash equivalent, you have to take it. Maybe that's the point. The point is just to say that we would only need a source if there wasn't agreement. Maybe it's more of a negative statement. That the cases where you don't have mutuality between the two people, then we need a source to tell us that not only can whatever happens happen, but it can happen even in this b'di'evet form of commodities. Or maybe the point is more positive. Maybe these Rishonim are saying that there's something about the fact that they're both on the same page here that tells us that Shava Kesef should be Kesef. So how does that work? Shulchan Zissel Broit, the Rashid of Chevron, whom we mentioned the other day, in the Sefer Som Derech, so he discusses the Ramban. And he says, he doesn't think that the Ramban lines up with the idea that you're paying for the value of the woman. If you recall, we spent some time talking about his thoughts about the subject last week. Certainly doesn't think that that's what's going on. But he thinks the point of highlighting the mutuality here is that together they can decide to call this kesef. That since the two people are doing this through mutual agreement, they can grant this amount the status of kesef. And this could correlate to what we also had an opportunity to briefly mention yesterday, the Gemara about Pidgin Aben. So of Kahana, in the context of Pidgin Aben, so the Gemara tells us later on in Daf Ches that he was willing to accept a scarf for Pidgin Aben. We mentioned the debate in the Rishonim whether he was actually a Kohen or not, which seems to be a pretty crucial detail, but somehow he was involved in the Pidgin Aben, either on behalf of himself or behalf of his wife, and he accepted a scarf. Maybe it was on behalf of his wife, because she likes scarves, whatever it is. But he said, L'didi shavili. Right, so for me, this is worth 5 slots. So that's a double chiddush, right? Why is it a double chiddush? One is that...
Shava
kesef kasa. It didn't have to be actual cash.
Even though it's not worth 5 sela.
Oh, so the second chiddush is maybe bigger than the first. Right? Because the second chiddush is saying that not only can you take commodities instead of cash, but you don't have to have it actually assessed by an official expert to tell you how much we can correlate it to in your actual debt. But a subjective assessment can be enough, a subjective assessment to the person getting it can be enough to make it worth more. Right? Which is not obvious at all. Like if you want to say, for example, that shav kesef kesef means that you can take the item and sell it, turn it into money. So that's not true here. And he couldn't sell the scarf for the same amount of money because maybe he's the only one who cares about it that much. So what it seems to suggest is that at least in certain situations, you can have a mutual agreement that confers value on something between the two parties. And that creates a reality that's effective for this purpose. Hi.
Does that have to be something tangible?
Oh, well, in the context of Kedushin, it doesn't have to be something. We've talked about Gemara, we'll talk later on about services that have that type of effect.
Actually, more like a no.
Right, we're going to talk about Hana, and we find that in other contexts also. So see, it doesn't necessarily have to be something tangible. In other contexts, not so clear, but at least for our context, it doesn't necessarily have to be something tangible, which opens up all kinds of very interesting possibilities. I had a friend who said he wants to get married with Hana that his wife gets from him asking her to marry him, which is not the most romantic, or it either is or isn't the most romantic way to do things, depending on how you look at it. So that we'll get to those sukkahs, which we'll have a lot to say about. Jacob, would say the question?
Not anymore.
Okay. So, intangible. So, this issue of mutually agreeing on what's going on. So, maybe that actually tells us something about the nature of Kenyan Kesef. That let's assume that we take the side like the spine, rather like the tats. Let's assume we take the side like the tats. And we say that kinyanim are symbolic. Kinyan kesef is symbolic. So what does that mean? So we know, and we've been discussing this from the beginning, that we have many, many different kinyanim in halacha. Right, we have kinyanim range from handshakes to lifting things up to signing contracts to chalipin to all kinds of other methods. And as we've been explaining, the purpose of a kinyan is really to show das for the most part. The purpose of a kinyan is to show seriousness. And that's why we use it to transfer property, because if we're going to transfer one item to somebody else, then we need seriousness in order for that to happen. And when it comes to Kiddushin, as we've been establishing, since Kiddushin, the mitzvah is to establish seriousness before the relationship, so when we look for tools of seriousness, so we look for kinyan. So if that's the idea, that a kinyan is basically a symbol of seriousness, so should we say that kesef is just one of many, and they're all basically the same? And then we'll have to figure out, why don't they all show up in the context of Kedushin? I mean, that was the question we saw some of the Rishonim Tak asked, right? Why don't we have Meshicha, why don't we have Hagbah? In some cases it was a technical answer that since the Isha is not the double of a nickname, so there's nothing to lift up, there's nothing to pull her over, whatever it is. So is it that all these kinyanim basically just different ways of showing seriousness? Or is there something
additionally symbolic about Kesef.
Does Kesef represent something in a way that the other Kinyanim don't? So what do you think about that? Is there something in the symbolism of Kesef? Don't know, because there's half a hand on each side, so who's up first?
No,
you. Okay, see if it's making some gold right there.
No, maybe possibly in terms of meaning, if we also talk about the fact that the Suda and Kedushin are connected, we talk about the shared Suzon and Karma. So it'd be interesting to see if this was possibly the beginning of him giving his own elsewhere some kind of support to his wife.
Wow, that would be quite an idea. That, if anything, you know, that could maybe support kind of the Avimiluim view, right? You say that basically this is a monetary transaction. Right? This goes back then to redefining issues from day one, that when we tried to figure out what kind of a Kenyan there could be, if we wanted to see Kenyan really in a monetary sense, so how could we explain that? So we could say, well, there are monetary aspects of marriage, so maybe the Kenyan is starting that. And therefore, it's the mutuality, and we find also most of these mutualities, this was the problem with this theory, is that most of these, if not kemat, all of them, function on the level of the Rabbanan, really. You know, that there's a mutual obligation. He supports her, she supports him. All kinds of bilateral monetary obligations. So basically what you're saying is that the marriage represents a certain sum of money that he's paying towards her support. So this is a down payment that you're really, really going towards the Avi Milum kind of thinking. Basically, she is committing to the marriage because he's offering enough, and this is the first kruta towards that.
Or you could say,
and so that's what the Kesef is to
symbolize. First amount of money gets different, that doesn't get you anything, right?
Well, I guess not. But it's the first step towards that. You know, here's the down payment, and that's a very unromantic view about marriage. But, you know, maybe there's something to it. It's one possibility. Tamir?
It would be possible that he's showing he's even willing to do something, that he's giving away something of value, that he's parting away from something that's good because it has value.
It's a symbol, it's a symbol of sacrifice.
Someone,
right? So marriage is about sacrifice. Right? That's what we mentioned with Gemara at the end of Gittin, that Megari Shishar Rishona, film is Ben Afmer, about the most. There's a lack of sacrifice, so you want to show the first moment you're ready to sacrifice, a symbol of sacrifice. Okay, that could be. Oh.
So based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that the Gemara uses, that like I guess the context of that pasuk is Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu that there's like a future back in Eretz Yisrael, even though right now it seems like desolate. That kind of the symbolism in there is like that there's hope in the future, and that the Kesef kind of represents
investment.
Maybe an investment.
It's a beautiful idea. That really involves, that's very nice. It really involves a lot of reading into the specific sources, which has a lot to be said for it. These are all nice ideas. That's the bit she's saying that I'm here for the long run. You know, that's the message. And here we go. She's saying here also for the marriage, you know. Which is, you know, it's funny. The Gemara doesn't mean this context, but the Gemara in the beginning, Exubus, talks about the unlikelihood that a husband would intentionally plot to frame his wife for adultery at the beginning of the marriage. And so the Gemara says, the person's not going to make an effort to set up such a fancy, expensive wedding just so that the day after he can plot to frame her for adultery. So, okay, so the wedding, that back then the husbands themselves paid for the wedding, so that's a statement of commitment. So okay, these are all fascinating ideas. None of these are at all what I was thinking of, but these are all fascinating ideas. Okay, Akiva?
I was going to just want to know online, like, maybe it's somewhat tied to get, in the sense that at the time of the marriage, the coin doesn't have any value, but in the sense of, like, if there was ever be a kesuba, if you never have to pay the kesuba, so then it's sort of like...
Yeah, payment towards that?
Yeah, then it sort of has, like, some type of value.
Well, you say maybe it doesn't have value because she's married to him anyway, so does that mean?
As in the time, like, when he's giving it over, it doesn't have that value.
It's symbolic of paying her afterwards. And that's definitely, I guess, a less romantic notion. basically saying that if this, you know, people don't like the prenup, this is, if I divorce you, this is my first payment towards that.
Or
you start writing out the alimony. Okay, that could be. Hi.
I don't know if this is just resetting it, either you're saying before, but the whole point of CASAP, or one of the points of CASAP is that you're not really focusing on the actual coin path, or even the necessarily the value, because you could like subjectively manipulate it. So that's saying that the relationship that you're having with your wife is one that's based completely on DAS and nothing else. And it's because it's so much based on the DAS that two people want to enter into the relationship. So the value that you have is just completely subjective.
And then infinite.
Right.
Subjective.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's actually a beautiful idea also. That's not none of these things I was thinking of. Although that's, maybe hold on to that, because that may tie into what I was thinking of. But these are all beautiful ideas, so totally different. Nani?
It's a little similar to what Morty was saying, but if we're saying that Kesef is a subjective thing that the other person is saying that I find this inherently valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's the perfect way of showing das of both parties coming together. Both parties to show that this is going to be a marriage, that there's going to be a marriage, and this is das for everyone. This is marriage because she's saying that this is valuable to me, and that's the Kenyan that can do that compared to any other Kenyan.
That's it. So that's maybe closest to what I was thinking. So that's tell me if I'm right, the way I'm understanding what you're saying. But let's zero in on something like that, at least, or maybe that. That, when there's a purchase price for an item, okay, so you want to buy my desk, I say $100, you give me $100. What does that $100 represent? What's the symbolism of that $100?
What do you want to order?
Okay, that's half of it. Let's say it in a more mutual way.
Parties for them to both get what they want.
Yeah, essentially that this represents what we have mutually agreed will be necessary for this transfer to happen. Right? The actual purchase, the actual kinyan of the desk is that I'm giving you the desk. Right? Al pi halacha, that's what makes the desk yours. And so whether it's a gift or it's a sale, the desk becomes yours because I'm giving it to you. Like that's what we were saying a few minutes ago. That every kinyan is about das, that really when a transaction takes place, the transaction takes place because the two parties agree that it takes place. But we need a kinyan to give some visual representation to our das. So the kinyan is something we can point to that shows the world that we have agreed to transfer ownership of the desk. Now in the case of money, like I think you just said, so the money is what we mutually agreed. We went back and forth. I said I want 200. You said you'll pay me 50. I said 125. You said 75. You then tried to get some better grades. Then we went back and forth, and then we decided on $100. So the $100 represents our mutual agreement as to what it's going to take for this transaction to happen. And as I think Donnie was saying, right, that is unique about Kesef. Different than every other kinyan you might use. It's different than a handshake or a handkerchief or signing a contract, in that this is the symbol of what we have agreed upon. And maybe that's something that's unique about kinyan kesef, that that's how it operates. So it's like when you win the lottery, I'm sure you all have from time to time, and you get that big check, right, which is a fake check. Right, so you can't cash that check, I assume. So why do they give you the fake check? Because it's symbolic. It looks like the check that you really would take to the bank and cash. So this becomes the symbol of winning the lottery.
Is that true by any Kenyan?
No. So it's true in a more limited sense, right? Every Kenyan represents that the transaction has happened. But here the representation comes from the fact that this is the substance of your agreement. The cash is what made us decide to transfer the desk. So that's symbolized by Kesef.
What about Shelly Kesef?
Sorry?
What about Shelly Kesef?
So now that's the Chiddush on top of that, that once we take this symbol, so you wouldn't have known necessarily that Shelly Kesef is Kesef. Right? Because you would have said, all right, if it's about the actual payment, it's done by itself, But yeah, we know obviously shove a kesef is a kesef. If I'm willing to take baseball cards instead of cash, so then fine. But if we say the whole point of the kinyan is money, because money is what looks like what is making this happen, so that I wouldn't have known so obviously that shove a kesef is a kesef. And maybe I need a pasuk to say that that's true. Right?
But why is that different than any other type of kinyan stuff?
It's definitely similar. It's in the same parsha of the kinyan that it's only symbolic of our das.
Right.
But that here the symbolism has substance to it that the other kinyanim don't. Because it's not like just any action that we do like a handshake. Okay, a handshake represents that we agree on something. But here, the symbol that we're using isn't just a handshake or a handkerchief, but it is the agreement in its physical form. And because I agreed to give this to you because you're giving me $100, here's the $100. Maybe it's not the actual $100, maybe it's a coin that symbolizes the $100, but the imagery is meant to be the substance of our agreement.
According to this understanding of kesef and kinyan, I know Gemara addresses this later about less than shepherd proof.
I think I see what your question is going. So hold off on that. I mean, you're right, it's coming up later. I think I see where it goes, so hold off and we'll come back in a second. But so what could be going on here is that the idea of kesef is that it represents the mutual agreement. Want to comment on that?
No, I was just going to say that, like, the idea in general of money is something relative that we just assign a value to, so why is that any different than shoving kesef?
You think the logic still works?
I guess so, yeah.
Without a pasuk, you're saying? Because there's a process here. The first, the actual transaction was happening because of value, and value could have been anything. But we then extrapolated from that and said, let's use as a symbol for the transaction. We don't have all my cash on me right now, but I want to take the desk. So I want to make the kinyan on the desk. You want to take the desk. So you're going to give me a coin. Why is a coin better than anything else? Why is it better than jumping up and down and waving? Because the coin is symbolic of the money that you're going to pay for.
But the way money works, especially now that we're off the gold standard, is that money isn't really money.
Right. No, it's a picture. It's just a symbol.
Right, exactly. So then why is that any different than any other show?
Because once it's not a coin, then it's not even a picture. Right? So this desk costs $100. You're making a kinyan kesef with a quarter. So what are you going to give me? A napkin that's worth a quarter? That would be a nice napkin. What are you going to give me? Give me yesterday's newspaper. What's worth a quarter anymore? You give me
a gumball.
A gumball, right? So you give me a gumball. It's worth a quarter. So what is the what is that quarter? Now it's too many steps removed, right? It's not $100 in value. It's nothing, right? We went through a process here. We said that you could just give me the $100, and that would do it. Instead of giving me the $100, a quarter will symbolize the $100. So to say that not only the quarter but the gumball somehow symbolizes $100. What's the connection between the gumball and $100? Right, $100 has two components. It's money and it's worth $100. The coin is money. The gumball has nothing in common with the $100. So it's a chiddush to say that the gumball should also do it. That you need a pasuk for. So maybe you could say also by the kinyan kiddushin that the nature of kinyan kesef is it represents our mutuality coming together here. And that's what the Rishonim are saying, that since the whole nature of kesef is, it's about our mutual agreement to go forward. So then, why shouldn't we be able to agree on anything? Why shouldn't we be able to use anything as a symbol of that agreement? Kesef is the most readily apparent symbol, but since we could barter or trade with anything, so let's make that our symbol. So if that's the case, so then we could say that's what the Rishonim are getting at, that svara is true by kiddushin also. That we're entering into this marriage based on our mutual agreement of whatever it's going to take. And the kesef doesn't necessarily represent something monetary, but, or maybe we'll now bring in Morty's poetic story from before, that it represents the nature of our infinitely valuable mutual agreement. And therefore, the symbolism of Kesef is still symbolism. It's still not about buying her. But at the same time, it still gets its symbolism from our mutual agreement of a value nature. And therefore, there could have been a svara that says anything that's worth that is also going to have value. So that then prompts the question, which we'll have to get to a bit soon, which Nani was about to ask, and I cut him off, that if you're going to say that, so then maybe I don't need even a shadow proof. Or maybe it could be even more romantic. Like the woman who says, I'll take a cigar band to do it for me. I'll take, you know, a napkin, wrap it around my finger, that's enough. That's all I need from you. Right? So why don't we say you don't even need a shadow proof? Now, you may have seen some hints, some possible approaches. You know, the Gemara and Daf Gimel says that it's undignified to get involved with less than Shavkruta. Well, that Gemara is in the context of Chalipin, and we'll have to discuss whether that's unique to Chalipin. That's a sugya that's coming up. The truth is, I'll have to give you some sources to see soon, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether it's possible actually to do Kiddushin with a kli that's less than Shavkruta, if it's a full kli in itself. And there are other issues that are going to come out of this. You see today the Ran, which we gave to look at, but you may have assumed that it was because it talks about the same issues that the other Rishonim do here, which is also true. But that Ran is also significant because it talks about Karka, whether Karka should work. So that's also something that we have to clarify a little bit about what's the relationship of Kesef, things that are worth money, so how does Karka fit in? It's a debate among the Rishonim. So that's maybe also a point that we'll need to clarify. So all these points are on the horizon, but it's a valid question, how far can we go with this mutual agreement thing? But perhaps that's the nature of what's going on here. Any further questions? Any points? Donna?
You mentioned Halifin, but I remember learning last year driving in the business health class about some Quinta. I'm just wondering if there's anyone ever discussed the fact that there's a possibility of some kind of Quinta.
It's a good question. What Sitimta would involve? And Sitimta is a kingdom which is defined by whatever the Minichas Ofrim is. That's why we have a handshake for as one of the kinyanim by chametz and by other types of transactions. Because since in contemporary society, it goes back a long time, clearly from the literature, you see this has been the meaning for a while, that people shake on the deal. So that should be effective as a kinyan. So what would constitute Sitimta for Kedushin, I'd be a little afraid. And you mean that it's the same kind of, that we should take something that would be a Sitimta by business, and or should we say that whatever the rest of the world does that counts as marriage, it counts as marriage. That's a little bit of a scarier idea. Either way, I'm not sure what it would mean practically. I don't even know yet what it would we'll see, but in the context of Chalipin, we'll talk about some of those ideas. Now, Chalipin, just as a little bit of a preview, whether Chalipin is the same kind of kinyan as everything else, or whether it has a unique nature, that's also going to be part of that discussion, and that's something that we'll get to. But it's significant that when the Gemara says that Aisha is not going to be miskadeshes with less than a shavu pruta because it's not dignified, so there, that is in the context of Chalipin, what does that say about in the context of straight out Kesef? That's still somewhat of a discussion. So that guy willing, we will get to. So what we still need to clarify is, I want to say some points about the issue of Karka, and about how that ties into all this. The question of a Kli, less than a Shavu Pruta, maybe I'll give you a little bit to look at as well. And then, really our next sugya is talk about Das. So maybe that's also a particularly important sugya before we get to Rosh Hashanah, and you may have in to know what Das means. It's something that has impact on a lot of areas of life. And tomorrow we have Kisavo to talk about. That's huge also to get us in the right frame of mind. We have really the Tocha and Six Aliyah. It's a biggie. So we have a lot to talk about tomorrow. Just to quickly recap what we spoke about today. So we talked about the general Hashavah Kesef for the Sugi is important because of its implications for Tarish Baal Peh, and the idea that our minig to be Mekadosh of Tavas
shows two levels, maybe of Tara Shabbat Peh, Kesef itself being Tara Shabbat Peh, and Shabbat Kesef, Kikesef, being the question of how do we know that? And then that issue we saw was a debate in the Rishonim, that according to Tosfos, that the idea is it's learned out from the Pasuk, important point meaning it's not obvious, and according to many other Rishonim, it's learned out from the Svara, important point meaning that it is at least intuitive, if you want to say obvious. And we mentioned the point from the Rav about thinking that in general it should be obvious, how come it's not obvious here, and his distinction between mamon, value where it is obvious, and kesef, which might mean something more specific. And we mentioned the point that apparently in halacha, there are two dinim of shabbat kesef kekesef. There are situations where it's obvious, you don't need any source for it, because it just makes sense with the concept. And situations where it's true, but it's not obvious, we need plukim, because the concept wouldn't necessarily have told us that shabbat kesef is kekesef. So then, as the first possible route, we mentioned the Akhenilun's machlokas between the Rambam and maybe the Ritva. We mentioned that there are footnotes in the Ritva questions his whole approach to it, but the issue that might be there about what is kesef in the Torah, is kesef a silver coin, or is kesef value? In which case, again, if it's value, then shabbat kesef should be obvious. If it's a coin, maybe it's less obvious and needs a source. And that may or may not be connected, might be independent, but might be connected with our old friends, the Taz and the Sma, that the Sma, who says kesef in general is a payment, kesef piro, and shivoi, and the Taz, who says no, it's symbolic, because look at kesef kedushin. So it sounds like, if you want to say like the Taz, that it's symbolic, therefore it's not so obvious you need a source to show the kesef. And if you say like the Sma, it's about payment, so if it's about payment, it is obvious you don't need a source. But then that, the math there takes us to say that the Ramban and most of the Rishonim are in the camp with the Sma, saying that it's about payment. And we've spent all this time saying that it's not what King Kedushin is about. And in fact, the Sma agrees it's not what it's about. The Sma would agree that Kedushin is about something else. Avnilun wouldn't, but the Sma himself would say that Kedushin is something else, and it's only Karka that works this way. And we talked about the Rav's point about distinguishing between Karka and the Talzalin. So even if you agree with the Sma, it's still difficult here to say that our sugya in Kedushin is about payment in the value sense, and that so many Rishonim think it's obvious because it's all about value. That's a hard conclusion to come to. So we took it down a different path by noting that the language of the Rishonim who say it's a Svara, they point to the fact that it's mutual. So since it's mutual, so what does it mean? So we talked about what's the significance of pointing to the fact that it's mutual. Is it just a negative point to say that when it's not mutual, you need a pasuk to tell you that you can force someone to accept shabbat kesef? Or maybe it's the other way around, and the point is to emphasize the significance of the mutuality. So in order to understand that, so we noted, first of all, that Simchas Disselbroi in the Sam Derech, that he thought that the Ramban also was saying that not that it's about payment, but that since they're getting together mutually, they can decide to grant the status of kesef here. And we mentioned Rav Kahana accepting the scarf that was less than 5 svarim, and saying to him it was worth 5 svarim. And then we pose this question of what is the symbolism of kesef? Is kesef symbolically the same as every other king, just a way of having some visual representation of das? Or does it do that more? Is there something special about this that makes it different than everything else? So we had some beautiful theories as to why. I think we had 3 or 4 or 5 beautiful theories as to why kesef might have a unique symbolism to it. And then we mentioned the possibility as well that maybe the unique symbolism is that it represents the agreement. That if I'm selling you the desk, so I could just give you the desk, that makes it yours. But I'm doing that because of the terms that were agreed in the monetary sense. So we transfer that to a symbol by a coin that looks like money, that represents the substance of our agreement. So then on top of that, you can say shabbat kesef kekesef, because the Ramban has been saying that since this is symbolic of our agreement, so whatever we agree to should still work, should affect a kingdom kedushin. So maybe so too, by Anisha, it's not that it's a payment price, it's not that it's a purchase price, but that it's symbolic of a mutual agreement. That's what kesef does in general. So to here, that's what it does, and Shabbat Kesef should have the same effect, and then we're able to insert some other beautiful ideas that have been suggested by Morty and Downey and others into that possible understanding. And again, that leaves us with some questions still to be resolved, the question of if they can together decide what to do with it, so why can't they decide less than a Shabbat Pruta also, or can they decide less than a Shabbat Pruta? We gave some advance look at the concept of Kalipin that we'll have to talk about in terms of how that affects this, and the question of a Kli that's less than a Shabbat Pruta, exactly the different status, all of that will be affected by that, but God willing, we will look at that in the days ahead. All right, we will head to the basement of Shemunko. Wish you all